The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
There is absolutely nothing dignified about watching a family member or a child suffocate. No family should ever have to go through what we've been through. It's barbaric.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I don't know how much of that you could make out. Very careful, you could hear a lot of emotion. A British 12-year-old on life support was taken off a ventilator after his family lost legal battles to keep him alive. It is a tragic story. You just heard audio from his family and the reaction after he passed. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. It is good to be with you today. As always, it's a mixed bag here for the next 3 hours. We've got a lot to get into. We'll take a look at everything from expanding IRS to the chaplet, right? We'll pray. I'll fill you in on God's protection, too. Maybe you're worried about your loved one who's in law enforcement or the military or traveling or going somewhere that's kind of dangerous, maybe even, you know, where you live. God can protect, and he can do so in a miraculous way. Coming up a little bit later, I'll share with you two really amazing stories. How they illustrate to me that God's in complete control of everything all of the time. He really is. I always submit myself to his will. If I'm at the suffer for some reason, I thank God for it. Not that I enjoy it. But God can certainly protect. And maybe later I'll open the phones. Maybe you have a story of how you were miraculously protected. I'd love to hear that as well. But that's coming up a little bit later. We'll talk about that. And of course, the big news regarding the president and so much more. So feel free to dial in. Here's the number. Jot this down or put in the speed dial if you are new. It's 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I don't know if you're familiar with this story. I kind of stayed away from it just because I'm so sick of such negative news and horrible stories. I don't know about you, right? I feel sometimes when I open the show and I bring you up to speed on what the big news stories of the day are, sometimes they can be kind of heavy. This is a tragic one. It's one I've been following, one I've talked about in the past, and one that now has come to conclusion. There was a little boy. He was 12 years old. He was in England. He died in the Royal London Hospital. And that went and made news, of course. His name was Archie Battersby. The kid was on life support, right? And his parents were praying for a miracle. His parents wanted the child to live. The child was alive, right? But he was removed from life support against his parents' wishes. And I'll just stop on that point. I just want you to think about that for a moment. Maybe it's your child or your spouse, right? Imagine they're on life support. And against your will, your wish, their life is ended. Catholic News Agency, they were reporting that, and I want to quote from them. They said, quote, the doctors at the Royal London Hospital argued Archie was brainstem dead and should be allowed to die. Did you get that? I found that, you know, an interesting way of putting it. If he's brainstem dead, then how can he be allowed to die? Archie is the third young boy in Britain to die because doctors wouldn't listen to the parents, even when other places around the world said, hey, don't kill the kid. We'll take him, right? Fly him here to America. Fly him to Australia. Fly him to wherever. They were willing to provide medical care, but the hospital insisted. They took this case to the court, and the court said the boy should die. So the courts agreed with the doctors, and that, to me, is a serious problem. It's a cautionary tale for all of us, right? You think, oh, that would never happen here, right? That wouldn't happen here. It's a horrible story, but my gosh, I don't know how the judge could. Look, we live in a strange time. I'm just going to be direct and very honest with you. I mean, I would give you one bit of advice today. I mean, have a living will. You know, have your end of life documents done. Make sure you know who's in charge of these decisions for you at the end of your life as well. I think that is really, really important. A couple of good things happening in the UK. Let's balance it out, right? One of them is that their only program for so-called gender transitioning for kids has been shut down. This is something I knew would happen, right? It's just, I knew the culture of death would end in this country. We're still in the battle for that, but it will. Just like slavery ended, and just like, you know, this redefinition of marriage, we're going to see more bad fruit. We're going to see polyamory and polygamy and man-boy love association relationships and all sorts of different things. They're going to be taken to court. But eventually, this type of stuff collapses on itself. It just can't stand. It's corrupt and just, you know, evil collapses. What happened in the UK here, and I was jesting one day, I was kidding around, I was saying, hey, if I was ever sentenced to prison for life, would I rather spend the rest of my life in jail with a bunch of guys, gang members, dudes, you know, violent environment, or would I rather say, hey, I'm transgender, and I'm a woman, and spend the rest of my life maybe in a relationship with somebody or in a much more, in a very different environment? Well, a lot of guys, I guess, had that idea. And you see that here in our own country, but over in the UK, that was the case as well. A lot of men claimed to be transgender. They ended up going into women prisons, and because of that, suddenly they're seeing, you know, pregnancies in the prison. They're seeing people in consensual relationships. They're also seeing non-consensual relationships over there as well. And what ended up happening was you probably saw more non-consensual, you know, situations, and a lot of women were complaining about sexual assaults. That should not be the case. If your daughter, your wife, your sister's in prison, you don't want her being sexually assaulted, right? Or that goes for your son too, of course. But it's just like in the States here, where female prisoners are ending up pregnant because of male prisoners identifying as female, and they end up in these prisons. So UK is shutting down the program that put criminally convicted men who call themselves women into the prisons. Here's a little more from Fox. Too many of these incidences. Kara Danski, she was actually on Tucker Carlson to talk about this issue, and she sounded the alarm on transgender prison issues. It was a few years ago, and guess what she was labeled? You're a bigot. You're a transphobe. Everybody likes to throw these word stones at people who just speak truth. She was raising concerns, and like Kara, I'd like to look down the road and around a bend and say, hey, if we go down this path, what will happen? Here's what she had to say.
We need to not have men being housed in women's prisons. But a couple takeaways from this that I just want to point out are, first of all, the state is not getting away with this by telling its residents that they are housing men in women's prisons. What they are doing, of course, is telling the residents that they are housing so-called transgender women or trans women in women's prisons, suggesting that there is some sort of subcategory of women that is called transgender women or trans women, and it's not true. The fact of this story shoots a hole right through the trope that trans women are women. Our society has been taught that we are supposed to say and think that trans women are women, but obviously that is not true, because the individuals that are the focus of the story impregnated women, and every thinking adult, no matter what the President of the United States has to say on the matter, knows that there is no category of women who can impregnate women. This is not just a problem in New Jersey. This is a problem across the country. I know that we have talked previously about how the state of California recently enacted a law at the end of 2020, which went into effect in 2021, which mandates that men be housed in women's prisons on the basis of their so-called gender identity if they say that they are women. Washington State has a similar policy. However, this is not just happening in blue states. This is happening across the country. As far as I know, 49 states plus the District of Columbia have some form of law or policy in place that mandates the housing of men in women's prisons.
It's to me, it's crazy. In the end, it's going to take the pendulum to swing all the way in the other direction, where there's more pregnancies, more violence, till they finally say enough's enough. Same thing. We saw the same thing with defunding police. We see a rise in crime, right? We see liberal policies letting these guys go. It's only going to go so far till they're going to say, we can't do this anymore, and the policy is going to have to swing back into the other direction. Common sense will one day prevail, but I told you it was coming. In Denver, you know, I've been following these stories of church attacks, and I want to continue to do that. I want you to be in the know on them. There was a church in Adams County. It's just north of the city in Denver. It has been shot at twice. Shot at. And we're not talking about just throwing things or vandalizing the church. There is a video that shows a motorcyclist driving by Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary Church and firing a handgun at the entrance of the Catholic Church. Now, no one was there, thanks be to God. It did cause thousands of dollars worth of damage. That was in the early morning of Saturday. Yesterday, Early yesterday morning, authorities found another bullet in the same area, and parishioners right now are praying just for the conversion, whoever did this, and hoping that there's no repeat, especially when school's in session. But I always love that response, one of love and one of charity, right? Calling for conversion, and they're not reciprocating with violence. And I love that. Let's pray. Let's also join them in that effort. Let's pray for our church. One final quick story here. Another story I just keep bringing to you. I want you to be aware of. I'm talking about dropping water levels in the West, the mega drought that we're experiencing. A fourth set of human remains has been found. Another body. As level waters continue to drop at Lake Mead, the National Park Service official said several rangers were called to the reservoir between Nevada and Arizona around 11 a.m. on Saturday. Skeletal remains were discovered at Swim Beach. So it looks like Lake Mead is giving up its secrets. I'm sure a lot of people thought they got away with these murders, and who knows what will come from it. So I'll continue to monitor what's happening there, and we need to pray for rain, too. Oh, my Lord. The Colorado River is in real trouble, too. So, hey, on another note, last night, I don't know what you were doing when you got the news. Was it, you know, a tweet, a text, an email? Was it an alert that came across your phone? Were you watching television? I'm sure you know by now FBI agents raided the former president's home in Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And the world found out when Trump himself, he actually tweeted this out, you know, when it was happening. According to his son, Eric, the agents even broke into his safe. They opened his safe. They found nothing in it. And supposedly the reason for the raid was to try to find classified documents he wasn't supposed to have. Maybe they believed he took them from the White House. So the former federal prosecutor, Andrew McCarthy, who writes at National Review and a frequent friend of this program here, he believes that this had nothing to do with those documents. Instead, he thinks they were looking for evidence that President Trump had directed that riot on January 6th of last year. So McCarthy made the case that this was just a way to try to get, you know, at those January 6th documents. But no matter what the FBI is trying to do, conservatives are looking at the fact that this happened. They're not looking at it well at all. Alan Dershowitz, Harvard professor emeritus, gave his opinion. He was on Glenn Beck a little bit earlier today. Here's his view of what unfolded.
The most obvious recourse here was a subpoena to the president saying there are 25 boxes in your house. There's a safe. We would like you to bring them all to the court tomorrow morning before you have a chance to leave where you are in the Northeast and come there and destroy anything. And we will then submit it to a judge, and lawyers can argue some of it was unclassified. Some of it was unclassified by the president. Some was never classified. Some may be so classified that even the FBI shouldn't have access to it. Some may be privileged, lawyer-client, executive privilege. This is exactly the kind of thing that needs a document-by-document analysis by a judge, not the FBI coming in and sweeping everything together, breaking into a safe. You know, you must have a single standard of justice. I'm a friend of both Sandy Berger, who was the former national security advisor, the late Sandy Berger, and a friend of Hillary Clinton. What they were accused of was exactly comparable, and there were no searches of their houses. People who have been found guilty of taking classified material improperly have been given fines. I don't think there's ever been a search like this.
Yeah, pretty extensive, to say the least, and again, we're in the midst of those January 6th hearings. We've got midterms coming up. You've got the president possibly running. Was there a reason for this? You know, again, the Today Show, Fox, a lot of different outlets covering what happened. Let me give you a look at what the Today Show was saying. Nancy Pelosi ended up, the Speaker of the House, was on their broadcast earlier this morning. Here's what she had to say.
And before we leave it, I just want to mention House Republican leader, your counterpart, Kevin McCarthy, put out a statement responding to the search. And he said, in part, when Republicans take back the House, we will conduct immediate oversight of this Justice Department. Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. Do you have a response?
Well, first of all, I think the Democrats are going to win the House. We've been prepared for it for a long time. And now with what's happening with Roe v. Wade and the legislation that we are passing, I think that whatever the leader is saying is probably idle. But nonetheless, we believe in the rule of law, and that's what our country is about, and no person is above the law, not even the President of the United States, not even a former President of the United States.
So let's talk about the law. Frances Buckley is a foundation professor at the Antonin Scalia Law School at George Mason University, frequent media guest, and he's appeared in a lot of different outlets. He's got a new book out. You might want to check it out. It's called Progressive Conservatism, How Republicans Will Become America's Natural Governing Party. And I look at that title, and I'm just thinking, boy, you can see what's happening not only with liberals, but the liberal media. Liberal media is almost downright gleeful right now about what's happening here. Conservatives are pointing out that this has never been done in nearly the 250 years of our nation's history, even when there was clear evidence that, say, for example, Hillary Clinton had classified documents on her personal servers. Remember that? No raid was conducted there. Professor Buckley joins me today. Great to have you with me today, Professor. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks very much. Please call me Frank.
Well, Frank, thank you for your great work, and looking forward to your insights here. This has never happened before in our nation's history where
It's a complete outrage. I mean, words almost fail me. Yes, it's never happened before. And you want to ask yourself, so why exactly is this happening? I mean, if this is about some records request, you know, that is so easily answered, and it is something at which we winked at with respect to Hillary, as you've noted. That's not it at all. Here, I think, is what's really behind it. We're talking about a politicized Justice Department that is trying to keep Trump in the news, yeah, and in particular, I think, to provoke him to run again for president. And, you know, I was very much in favor of Trump. I worked on his campaign. I wrote speeches for the guy. Mm-hmm. But I hope to heck he doesn't run in 2024, yeah, because he's the best thing the Dems have, right? Yeah. The reason they can't let go of him is they think he's beatable, and other Republicans wouldn't be beatable. So how do you get him to run? Yeah. Well, he's a counterpuncher. So provoke him, and he'll find he has to run. So that's all they have. But, you know, yeah, it's shocking.
So on that point, let's talk about that for a moment, Professor. You were close to him. You wrote his speeches. And I think you're right. You know, what I've heard is most Democrats don't want Joe Biden to run. However, if Trump runs, they think he's the only person who can beat him. I don't know if that's still the case in light of, you know, where we are with the economy, inflation, international affairs, a whole litany of other things that have happened. But you also know Donald Trump in terms of personality. There's a certain arrogance there. Does he want to run? Do you think he is going to run? Do you think somebody like a DeSantis, Tim Scott ticket or somebody else would have a better shot?
Well, I think somebody else would have a better shot. You know, we got this great governor in Virginia who showed, you know, the way to do it is adopt the Trump message, but don't necessarily wrap yourself around the guy. You know, right. And that won in a state which had been trending Democratic. You know, so all they've got is Trump. I mean, you read the newspapers, they can't let go of the guy.
I know.
They even put money behind pro-Trump candidates in the primaries this last month, right? That tells you exactly where they're coming from. So, you know, to my friends who tell me, oh, gee, I hope the guy wants to run again, my answer is, oh, really? You sincerely want Joe Biden to win? Because I think that's what their thinking is. So would he run again? You know, consider his age. Mm-hmm. His family isn't telling him to run, right? The guy is entitled at his age to step back and say, look, I've done my thing. I'm happy to pass the mantle to somebody else, unless they keep attacking him. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, what they're doing is they're trying to wave a red flag in front of a pretty ornery bull.
That's such a great way of putting it. So you see January 6th, these hearings, and perhaps even this raid as a way to provoke Donald Trump and to, to even if he does decide to run. I mean, January 6th, did that do enough damage to all those hearings to him, the general public, that people would say, gosh, I still can't vote for this guy? How do you see those two things impacting a possible run from him? And what do you think the impetus behind it is?
Let me make a confession. I didn't watch the hearings. You know, I think most conservatives have tuned out. It's a kangaroo court.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think what happened was admirable, but it was a, you know, it was a case of him spending a couple of hours in silence when he should have said something. You know, this is not exactly a mortal sin. It's not an impeachable offense.
Right.
It's not a crime, right? But I think, you know, to get that judge to sign on, they had a wave before the magistrate judge, who was a Trump appointee, something that suggests that there was a January 6th issue. And I don't see it. I don't see how it's possible you could find any documents that would really implicate Trump. I mean, to prove there's a problem, they'd have to prove that he thought that he lost the election. Well, I don't think he thought that. And you can't prove the intention. So, you know, it's shamefully, I think the Justice Department has allowed itself to be used by Democrats pursuing a totally political agenda.
Right. My guess
today, third world stuff.
It is. In fact, Governor DeSantis, I think, compared this to a banana republic. He said in a tweet yesterday, he says the raid of malls, another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents, while the people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves. Now the regime is getting another 87,000 IRS agents to wield against adversaries. Banana Republic, period, DeSantis. So, you know, that's the tweet that he sent out. I'm curious as to your take on that. Are we seeing the weaponization now of federal agencies against elected officials and even against other organizations?
Well, you know, that wouldn't be exactly the first time this sort of thing has happened. I mean, we've seen how the IRS was turned on conservative groups in the Obama administration. This is taking up a big, big notch. And Governor DeSantis is exactly right. You know, we're turning into a banana republic. We don't even make bananas. Come on.
All right, Frank, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk more. If you want to get in, our number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'm speaking today with Professor Buckley, a foundation professor at the Antonin Scalia Law School at George Mason University, taking a look at what unfolded last night with a raid on a former sitting president, a former president, his residence there in Mar-a-Lago. Stay with us. We'll be back. More conversation straight ahead. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. You know, for less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Get informed and get connected. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Taking a look at the FBI search on President Trump's Florida home, Mar-a-Lago. Federal investigators searched his home, prompting just outrage from a lot of Republicans, a lot of Democrats. They make the case. They say, look, the law applies evenly to all Americans, including former presidents. They're not above the law. So the search was part of an investigation into to Mr. Trump's handling of that classified information. He said, you know, people familiar with the matter. It was made public in a statement. Donald Trump actually tweeted out the raid was going on. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And I thought we'd talk about the implications of it. Is it an anomaly? What drives it? Is there a weaponization of certain agencies within the government? Is it a threat in the coming days when administrations change? I mean, where are we right now in America? We've become so polarized. We have become so divided. There's been a real lack of discourse and dialogue. Are we now taking it to the next level? I'm joined today by Francis Buckley, foundation professor at the Antonin School, Scalia Law School at George Mason University, and a regular, I'm sure you've seen him on radio programs and television programs around the country. It's good to have you back, Professor. Frank, let's talk about that. You know, we live in a unique time, as you've seen. I mean, Donald Trump, when he ran for office, said it the way he saw it. I think a lot of people didn't like him. What he did for the country, a lot of people could argue was pretty good. But we've become so divided now that the left doesn't talk to the right. And you even see this last bill that just got passed in the Senate. It was a 50-50 split down partisan lines broken by the vice president. Where are we culturally? How do you see us today? Is this the next level where, okay, the fact we're not talking to one another, or it's been so caustic, we're seeing, I don't know, bigger bats being taken out right now. How do you read it?
I think it's dangerous, and I'll tell you why. You noted that, you know, what we're talking about is exactly what we were talking about with respect to Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. back when, whether it's her private email server. And she took a hammer to it, and she, you know, she laughed about it afterwards.
Right.
And Donald Trump had a lot to say about that. But notably, you know, after he was elected, after he got into office, we didn't go after her, right? So now the Dems are going after Trump, or, you know, rough, basically the same thing. And so you have to ask yourself, well, how are the Republicans going to behave in the future? Are they going to, you know, is it going to be tit for tat? Are they going to reciprocate the misbehavior, right?
Yep.
Because if they don't, they look like patsies, right? The other guys can do it to us, and we don't do it to them. Well, that's the cycle. That starts a cycle that leads towards the destruction of the rule of law, right?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
We've got a great country. Yeah. It's a great country in large part because we played by the rules. So when you stop playing by the rules, and the rules are not just a matter of laws, it's, you know, you can't say, as Nancy Pelosi did, well, we're just enforcing the law. But, well, we didn't enforce the law against Hillary Clinton, right? There are issues of discretion where you don't use the law to beat up on political opponents just to score political points. I mean, that's what we've not done before. And if we began a cycle in which the Republicans responded in kind, you know, that would detract from the rule of law. Yeah. And if they don't do anything, the message is you guys can get away with it and we'll be the patsy.
All right, well, let's take a few calls for you. If you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149. Feel free to sound off, ask your question. My guest today, Professor Frank Buckley, and Renee's listening in Oceanside, California. I think she's got a question for you. Hi, Renee. Good afternoon.
Hello. I'm wondering about the Fourth Amendment that enforces that unreasonable searches and seizures cannot be done, you know, by the government, and it protects against arrests and search warrants and wiretaps, any form of surveillance. And I think this is definitely one of those things that falls under that amendment.
Well, you've got to persuade a federal judge. Thanks, Renee. You've got to persuade a federal judge that there's something that, you know, bears looking at. And they did. They persuaded a magistrate judge who had been appointed by Trump. I don't know what they told him, right? I hope it was more than just there's a squabble with the National Archives,
yeah.
Right? But even then, I can't see any real justification.
That's such a good point, though, Professor. It's a great point. I want you to elaborate on that point as well. I mean, the judge had to issue this warrant. I mean, they had to make a strong case. This is a sitting president. I mean, they could have issued a subpoena. They could have easily, you know, come in and investigated if they needed to. What do you think they said to the judge, or what was the mindset of the judge on this, that he thought it was so critical that they'd have to come in dark of night and raid a house?
I think we're talking the January 6th hearings, right? Because otherwise, there are so many other ways of handling this one, right? And it's such a, you know, a non-issue by itself, right? So, you know, what's the issue? He's holding on to some documents. Well, he knows all this already. He was a president. It's not as if they're going to teach him something. So I think we're talking January 6th. But even then, you know, like I'm saying, there's no crime that's committed without a guilty mind. And I don't think, and the only guilty mind would be if Trump really thought he had lost but said he had won the 2020 election. Well, I don't think so. I think he was wrong. I think he lost. But yeah. I do believe he sincerely believed that the election was stolen from him. And there was a lot of fraud, to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Ann is listening in Pennsylvania, the other side of the country. Hi, Ann. Good afternoon.
Hello, love your show. I'm a little nervous,
thanks,
but I'd like to share my thoughts. I was on the pulse of things in 2016, and it did transpire as I had thought. So now, this is my fear. If the GOP dismisses Donald Trump, and as a lot of Republicans share my viewpoint, Donald Trump was treated so outrageously unfair with, you know, the wiretappings and the collusion hoaxes and whatnot, that I believe that opting to support someone like DeSantis or someone to view to be bring people together, sort of that kind of talk, is going to backfire because so many people are so outraged with the the complete undermining of the rule of law, unfairness, et cetera. I do believe a lot of Republicans like myself will just stay home and just not support Republican ticket.
Thank you. Let me get Professor Buckley's response.
That's an interesting comment. You know, I don't know how it would play out. I suspect there are a lot of conservatives who are, you know, frankly, a little down on Trump, who would be brought to the polls to support him because they're so outraged by this. Yeah. So I don't know which way it would play, but I do think, I am firmly convinced that what's behind this is the Democrats thinking, we got to taunt the guy into running again because we think we could beat him, but we don't think we could beat a DeSantis.
There was a CPAC poll. There was a poll done recently where, you know, Trump clearly had a lead over DeSantis if they were to run. But who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I thought Trump's numbers were slipping now, too, in terms of where he is in terms of running with distance from the you know, from the previous election. But who knows? I think whoever runs the country right now, I think inflation is a number one issue for so many people. And in the world of politics, as you know, Professor, people have such short memories. What's happening today, even come midterms, I wonder what the impact of that will be. Before I go to John in San Diego, let me get your take on that. How will this affect voter turnout for the midterms? Do you think it'll have any impact at all?
We're waiting on John?
No, I'm waiting on you, Frank. I want your take. I'll get John in a second.
I don't know. We don't even know who would be a candidate in 2024 if it's not for Trump. I mean, I got a lot of faith in the country. And, you know, people come at the last moment from funny places like Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah, my guest today... Frank, you still with us? I think we lost you for a second there. We'll wait to... Patrick, if you can just check his phone for me quickly, we'll make sure that connection is good. Just a follow-up very quickly here on that poll number. You know, and I want to thank Patrick for getting this to me. My producer here said that CPAC poll, 69% was in favor of Donald Trump over DeSantis, which was 24%. It's an interesting question. Would you vote for Donald Trump if he ran again? Do you think January 6th has bloodied him up enough? Has it sullied him enough that most Americans would not do it? Is Joe Biden the only solution to him? Or would somebody else be able to take him on? A Buttigieg, a Cory Booker, who knows who would run? I wish we had great choices on both sides of the aisle. We can talk more about it. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll grab your calls. John in Los Angeles, everyone else, stay with me. We're back with more right after this. You can get in, too. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And we'll take a few more minutes, take a few more of your calls with Professor Frank Buckley. Our conversation continues right after this. Stay with us. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Pray hope, and don't worry. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, coming up next.
Yeah, we'll pray for our country coming up in about 15 minutes. Let's pray for peace and for unity. This is a blessed country. I am proud to be an American. I'm proud of our form of government when it works properly. If you're just joining me, we're taking a look at a story that has really sent shockwaves around the country, across the media, Capitol Hill. A judge reportedly, last night gave the green light for a search of the president's private residence in Florida. And apparently the White House claims they didn't get any advance notice of the FBI search. They said they didn't. But in order to conduct the search, the FBI would need to convince a judge that there was a reason to believe that there was evidence of a crime and it would be found just at that location. So it would also require, I think, a sign-off from the highest echelons of the Justice Department, though there was a spokesperson there who wouldn't say, what role, Merrick Garland played in all of that. So Justice Department's been looking into the former president's handling of official records as well as his actions around January 6th, that attack on the Capitol. And my guest today, Professor Frank Buckley, thinks really that's what a lot of this is all about. And Professor, before we go to the phones, I just want to follow up on a call that dropped. I wanted to get John on. He was listening, I think, in Los Angeles or somewhere in California. And he says, look, you guys are making Donald Trump seem like he's taken advantage of the FBI. He assaulted the media, the FBI, minorities, and you're making Trump seem like he didn't do anything wrong. Your response to that?
Well, I think he did things wrong politically. And yeah, there were all those nasty tweets, okay? Yeah, but, I wrote a book called Progressive Conservatism, and in it I said, look, the guy doesn't deserve to be elected again because his administration didn't work, right? I mean, not that much got done. He wasn't able to cut deals. He surrounded himself with a cabinet of people, who many of whom didn't agree with him, and he also surrounded himself with a bunch of pretty creepy people. So he's not the best vehicle for Trumpism at this point. And then there's January 6th, and that's not a crime, but it's a moral failure, okay? And he's not popular. I don't think he's electable. So for all of those reasons, I guess I agree with John.
Yep.
But, when you kick a guy who doesn't deserve it, you're going to provoke a lot of people into feeling sympathetic to him. So, in a way, this advantages Trump politically, but the people it really advantages are the Trump haters in the Democratic Party, right? And in particular, in the Justice Department. I'm not blaming Garland, Attorney General Garland, so much. I know the guy. He's a decent guy. He's a weak guy, however. Mm-hmm. And I think he's been dictated to by, a highly liberal bunch of prosecutors in the Department of Justice.
Yeah, we just received, a text or an email. My producer Maggie just passed this along to me. One of our listeners sent us this story that the judge that we were just talking about, Judge Bruce Reinhardt, reportedly was the most likely judge behind that warrant that authorized the raid on the president's estate there in Florida, is a former attorney who represented employees of convicted sex offender and notorious pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. And the National Pulse is also reporting that Judge Reinhardt has donated to the campaigns of former President Barack Obama and to the establishment opponents of Donald Trump during the 2016 elections, including Jeb Bush. So that's very telling to see who's behind this. And I really hope they're not using the authority or the power of their position to make decisions based on political bias. Lewis in Chicago, you are on the air today with Professor Frank Buckley. Good afternoon.
Hi. Yeah, this is Lewis. Yeah, and my comment is this. There are a lot of us that support Trump. We're the silent majority or minority, whatever you want to call us. And we support him. We don't say it vocally. We know the cancel culture is out there. We know they will destroy people. The Democrats, they will, kill you, not literally, but destroy your livelihood. So we just decided the majority. We speak amongst ourselves, and we know that we're Trump supporters, and this witch hunt is not new. It started in 2016 before Trump got elected, and it's political. I don't care what people say. You know, the lies are out there. It's not. It's political. We can see it from 2016 till now. Right. And by saying that Trump was not the good president at the time, he made us independent, oil independent. We were exporters. Gas was under $2 in certain states. In my state here, Illinois, it was a little over $2. Now we're paying $5, $6 because the guy in office cut the pipeline. Yep. And, you know, we could go on and on. But we know the lies are out there. It's tyranny at its worst.
Right.
All right, Lewis,
thanks for the call. Let me hold you on that point because time's going to go very quickly here, and I do want Professor Buckley to respond to him.
Well, I agree entirely with Lou. I mean, you know, the funny thing here is the Dems don't seem to have stopping points. They're not restrained by the sorts of things that restrain the Republicans. You know, we tend to be a gentlemanly party, maybe way too much so. They, on the other hand, they'll do things that, we wouldn't dream of. So we always get shocked by them. And, you know, if we ever responded in kind, there'd be hell to pay, excuse my language. You know, what's keeping the country together right now is one party's commitment to the goodness of America and the rule of law as against another party who's given up on both.
All right. James in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, thanks for dialing in. You're on with Professor Buckley.
Hey, this is for Professor Buckley. Wildly off on many points as far as Catholicism and as far as masculinity in the family. Trump does deserve to get elected again. And what he did for the African-American community in reestablishing families and jobs for those families, what he did for Mexicans, Americans of Mexican descent, is over the top. And this idea you have of gentlemanly behavior is the type of people that are okay with babies being aborted and not saying word one and getting along with both sides of the aisles. So I find what you say fairly offensive for somebody who is not a Trump sycophyte. I am somebody who just wants to have somebody that errs on the side of truth and pronounces it to a level of where they can articulate to the masses what is wrong is wrong. So whatever professor degree you have, I would like you to think about how to promote openness for discussion. And when you decide to differ on ideas, somebody will come through and say, this is the truth I'm speaking of. So no, Trump, I want him elected again. He deserves it. And he's been incredible, the second best president since Lincoln.
James, thank you for your call. Thanks for expressing yourself eloquently. Professor, I'll let you respond.
Well, I'm sorry if I offended the fellow, you know, but we all have disagreements. And, you know, I guess my principal disagreement is I don't think Trump is electable. So at that point, you know, how we weigh the virtues or the vices of Donald Trump don't matter so much as the fact that we want to advance conservative principles. And there may be better people who can do it. And I think the best thing for those people who hold those opinions right now is a Donald Trump who retires gracefully into retirement.
So
that's just a political, you know, a practical political observation.
So, Professor, when do you think he'll make the announcement? Do you think he will do it after the midterms, before the midterms? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would have said before this, I don't think there's going to be an announcement. I think that he's just dangling things up, you know, in the air to keep people interested in him. He, you know, he's somebody who likes the attention, to put it mildly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as long as he can dangle that out, you know, fine. Yep. Now I think it's more likely he will make an announcement. And, of course, that's exactly what the Dems are betting on.
You know, his endorsements, as we've seen in these congressional Senate races, have been pretty amazing. If he got behind the Republican candidate, whoever that is going to be, if he chooses not to run, you think that would have a huge impact?
Yeah, you know, look, I must say he's got a very strong following, but it's not a following I think that represents the American people terribly well. So some of the people that he's promoted for Senate seats and the like are people who I think in the general election are going to lose. Yeah. And as a consequence, at this point, you know, people more informed than I about politics are saying our chances of retaking the Senate are small.
Okay.
So that's the effect of him getting involved in backing people.
I got you. Professor, I'm grateful for your time. I know I kept you a little bit longer than we said we would, but thanks for making time for us today. And people want to get your book or follow you or write to you or respond to you. What's the best way to connect?
Best way is just get on Amazon or whatnot, and there it is, F.H. Buckley, Progressive Conservatism, and it's about a Republican Party we could all be proud of.
All right, I'm grateful for your time. Thank you. That's Professor Frank Buckley, and you can check out his book as well online. Just simply go to Amazon.com. I only have a few minutes remaining here, and I want to thank you for joining me. I know the lines are busy. I'll take a few more calls, and, of course, we're going to pray the chaplet in just a moment or two. To an earlier caller's point, and I do want to just follow up on something he said. I mean, in terms of Trump's pro-life stand, it is true. I mean, this current party, and I feel like I beat this point to death with you many, many times. I think the life issue is just so critical. And I just think on a spiritual plane, if we get this wrong, our country's going to suffer. I really do. I think this is the heart of everything. I think at the heart of this is something deeply spiritual. Our great nation, this Democratic Republic, will only succeed with a virtuous people. And that means we need them to lead us as well. We need them to make those decisions in the halls of our legislatures, right? We need them in the world of academia. We need them in our judiciary. We need them in entertainment and in medicine. And I think that's part of the beauty of what we do here at Relevant Radio. I try to at least bring that truth. Politics is very divisive. There's no doubt about it. And as I look at my call screen here, boy, a lot of people are saying, this guy's crazy. I love it. They really do. They're calling him all sorts of names, like an idiot. And others, they think Trump is the best president. Would you vote for him, or are you ready for a change? Do you want to vote for someone else? My personal opinion here is I think if Trump ran against Joe Biden, I don't think Biden would beat him. I don't. I think people are disenchanted. I think when Biden ran, he promised to be a unifier. He promised to lead us out of the dark, cold winter of COVID, right? What have we seen since this administration has come on? I mean, just take a look at where you've been, where you are today versus where you've been, let's say, 2 years ago. But will Donald Trump beat a different candidate if he doesn't win? And what about a different Republican candidate altogether? What if Donald Trump doesn't win? A lot to think about. That's all going to unfold in the not-too-distant future here. So I want to thank you for your calls. I don't know if I should take any more calls. I only have about a moment or two left. Let me take another one. Mary in California, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Drew and Professor. I just wanted to say, first of all, God is conservative, and we need to pray for Trump, because there's a book written by Brian York, Obsession Book. They can't get enough about Trump, and they can never indict him.
Mm-hmm.
He was exonerated for the January 6th, and also there's the 2000mules.com movie regarding Biden is not the legitimate president. He actually illegally won the presidency, so Trump is actually the winner. You know, five swing states,
let me just hold you on that point, because I got a moment or two left. I mean, there was a lot of debate after the January election as to whether or not he legitimately won. I think most people today, and look, I'm with you in this respect. I mean, if you looked at the optics of what took place with the president's losing the race, I mean, when you saw what led up over up to that November election, I mean, there were flotillas, there were parades, there were caravans of people waving flags for Donald Trump. People would come out, they'd spend the night, 5,000 people or more would fill stadiums to hear the man talk. And then you see President Joe Biden, or you see candidate Biden at the time, speak to 200 people honking their horns. And you're thinking, just by looking at the ground game, who's going to win this election? And to the surprise of, I know, a lot of people, President Biden got more votes than even Barack Obama, and that shocked everyone. Is that really the case? Is it possible that he could get that many votes? Were people that disenchanted with President Trump. You know, even a number of conservatives and Republicans say that, you know, Joe Biden won, and that's the case. So we'll see what history ultimately reveals, but there's been no other evidence to overturn that yet. And I'm grateful for your call and for your perspective there. Let me go to, I only have a minute. I'm sorry. Let me leave it at that point. Let's pray for our country. All right, let's just pray. And I know people may even disagree with me on that particular perspective. I want truth. You want truth, right? That's what this is all about. I hate the lies. I hate the deception. I hate the politics that are played. I hate the partisanship. I hate the vitriol. I dislike it all. Let's pray for peace and for unity and for love and for mercy. Let's pray that God be merciful to our country, that he protect us from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, right? That he'll put into office good men and women. But we also need to pray for the conversion of our fellow citizens, that our hearts are opened to the direction that God wants to lead us in, that we'll respect life and we'll respect liberty. We'll respect truth and gender and marriage, and we'll respect God. I'm going to pray for that when I come back. Stay with me. Our conversation will continue, and we'll pray the chaplain as well.